Brilliant. Shall we pray together as we look at these passages? Father God, thank you so much for your word. And we thank you at Pentecost. We remember, Holy Spirit, that you are with us today. I pray that you'd help us now to understand these passages and to apply them to our lives. Holy Spirit, come and be with us, we pray. Amen. Well, recently I heard about a couple who have been married for 50 years and they were celebrating their golden wedding anniversary. But this couple had argued all the way through their marriage. They'd argue day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out. And the family were absolutely astonished that they'd managed to reach their 50th wedding anniversary. So the family got together and they thought, what on earth can we buy this couple to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary? And the only serious answer they could come up with was a visit to an expert marriage counselor. So that's exactly what they did. They agreed that they would send this couple, who somehow got to 50 years of marriage but kept on arguing every single day, they agreed that they would send them to a marriage counselor. And surprise, surprise, the couple couldn't agree about whether they should accept the gift or not. And all the way to the appointment with the marriage counselor, they were arguing. And as they walked through the door, they were still arguing. They still hadn't decided if they were going to accept the advice. Even when they sat down in front of the marriage counselor, in front of the big desk, he asked them one question, and they broke out into an argument again. So eventually, the marriage counselor got so annoyed, he stood up and he said, "Stop, look, I am going to do something that I have never done before in the entire time of my professional career." So he got up from behind his big desk. He went around to the other side. He took the little old lady in his arms. He hugged her, and he kissed her on the lips for a very long time. And then he turned to the husband and said, "Now this is what the woman needs 3 times a week. So the husband said, "Okay, if that's what you say, counselor, I'll bring her in Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays." The wedding counselor, of course, wasn't saying that he needed to bring her back 3 times a week. He was saying to this husband, "You both need to experience love in your marriage. The love has run out, and you need to rekindle those promises that you made on the day that you were married, the promises that you made to love and to cherish each other. Those promises have grown cold. You might have forgotten those promises." And it was these promises, the promise to love and to cherish, that he wanted them to remember, because he felt if they remembered that at least 3 times a week, perhaps even more, it might improve the quality of their marriage. Well, this morning, as we come to Pentecost, I want to look at Pentecost through the lens of promises. And that's always set us up, really, on the theme of promises. We're going to be thinking about different promises that God makes to the early church and still makes to us today. And very simply, the first thing I want to draw out this morning from the passages that we've read is that God, our God, the God we've been worshiping this morning, is a God who keeps his promises. He doesn't forget his promises, like the husband we heard in this story, and possibly even the wife as well. This is a God who remembers the promises that he's made to us. For a long time, God had promised to his people that one day he would send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all people. If you go through the Old Testament, you'll find many examples of when God promises this. And one of these is Joel chapter 2, which is actually quoted in Acts 2 that we heard read to us today. But you might also remember that before Jesus died, he promised his disciples in John 14 that he would send the Holy Spirit, this person of God, to be with them after he had died. And this week, as we enter into the book of Acts, Jesus has died, he has risen back to life, and he's now ascended to heaven. But before he left, he told his disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit to arrive. So anticipation is rising, and then suddenly, in Acts chapter 2, where we've picked up the story today, this promise finally comes to fruition. God is faithful to keep his promise, and the Holy Spirit is poured out in a new way. All the disciples are gathered together in one place for Pentecost, the harvest festival, and then suddenly there's a roaring, violent wind. And from the very beginning of the world, when the world was created, God has used the wind to symbolize that he is bringing life. And so as the disciples experienced this wind, this roaring, rushing wind, it might have been quite terrifying, but it was a symbol that God was bringing new life to them in that place as they were waiting. The disciples also saw tongues of fire resting on them. And throughout the Bible, whenever this fire, it symbolizes that God's purifying presence is at work. So you might remember that when the Israelites gathered before Mount Sinai, God confirmed that his Old Testament, the law, was true and valid with fire from heaven. You can read about this in Exodus 19. And so at Pentecost, when the disciples are seen with tongues of fire above their heads, God is confirming them to them that the Holy Spirit is valid, the Holy Spirit is true, and it is from him. And also we see in this chapter, everybody speaking in different tongues. God's promise is really fulfilled. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all people, all races, all nationalities, all languages. Everybody is gathered together for the Pentecost festival, and God pours out his Holy Spirit on people from all backgrounds, people of all ages, people of all stages. And this same God is at work today, even here in Ely, in our lives. God is still faithful to keep his promises to us. I remember when I was 12, I was confirmed in the little church that me and my family went to in South Wales. And it was a bit of a bizarre service. I didn't really know what I'd been signed up for, but it turned out to be a very important service. And I was very nervous about one moment in the service where I had to come up to the front, and the bishop was sat on a chair at the front of the service, and I knelt down, and the bishop put his hands on my head. And I thought this was a bit strange. But at that moment when the bishop put his hands on his head and he prayed for me, even as a 12-year-old, something incredibly powerful happened in my life. And I think two things really happened. At that moment, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And first of all, I knew for the first time really powerfully in my life that God really did love me. He loved me really, really deeply. And it was as if he was wrapping a massive duvet around me and just reassuring me of his warmth and his presence with me in my life. So that was the first thing that happened. And the second thing that happened was I suddenly realized that as I went forward in my life, day by day, I could have this every day. And I had a sense that God was going to be with me through everything that happened. I didn't need to worry because he loved me and he was with me. I know those two things are really simple and they might seem really silly to stand up and say to you this morning, but those two things have kept me going every single day since that moment that I was confirmed, since that moment that I knew God's love really powerfully in my life. There have been times when I've had doubts. There have definitely been times where I feel like thrown in the towel. Even since I've been ordained, there have been times where I think, oh my word, where are you, God, in this situation? Why is this happening? This is so hard. But the Holy Spirit is faithful. God keeps his promises. And sometimes, in a very gentle way, God has called me back to him and reminded me of his love. Sometimes he's called me back to him in a much more powerful way. But whether it's gently or powerfully or somewhere in the middle, God is faithful. And he reminds me that his promises stand. Those promises that I felt he made to me when I was confirmed, that he would love me and never abandon me. He's never failed in them. And those promises are still open for us today as well. God keeps his promises, just like he has to me, and just like he did to the early church. His promises stand forever. So God keeps his promises, but also he promises that the Holy Spirit is available today for everybody, absolutely everybody. Later on, towards the end of Acts 2, Peter preaches, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I don't know if you remember, towards the end of the Gospels, when Jesus is about to go to his death, he's about to be crucified, and Peter denies Jesus 3 times. I often wonder what I would feel if I was in Peter's position, where I had denied Jesus, especially as he was going to be crucified. But here, just a few chapters on in the Bible, at the start of Acts chapter 2, we see that Peter has been completely transformed. And Peter really is the one that Jesus builds his church upon. He's the one who is preaching to this crowd and pointing them to Jesus. He's proclaiming Jesus to all who are present. And he makes this promise that the Holy Spirit is for all who are present in this gathering on the first Pentecost Sunday. And his promise is still available to us, the next generation of believers. Even today, this promise stands, and we can experience the same transformation as Peter and the same abundant life that the Spirit brings. And one of the privileges I have as a curate here at St. Mary's is being able to hang around the church and meeting different people who come through the church at different points in the week. And earlier in the week, somebody was visiting the church. They don't live here in Ely. And they saw me wearing my dog collar. And I think, to be honest, they regarded me as quite suspicious. They were asking me lots of questions about whether I believed in baptism and whether I believed in the Holy Spirit and whether I believed that Jesus could bring transformation. And so I managed to persuade them eventually that, yes, I did believe that Jesus was alive. And I did believe in the Holy Spirit. And people who dress like this do believe that the Holy Spirit still transforms life today. And I told him about this Sunday was Pentecost. And that's exactly what we're going to be looking at. And so after he decided I wasn't too dodgy, he went on to share with me his own testimony. And it was an amazing story about how for 7 years he had been involved in the occult. He'd got caught up in all sorts of things that he shouldn't have been involved in, and it had destroyed his life. But one day when he was at his complete wit's end, he didn't want to go on living anymore, and he was despairing to the point that he was thinking about ending his life. He heard a voice telling him to come back to Jesus. He's never heard that voice since, but he heard an audible voice calling him to go back to Jesus and to find Jesus. So he went to church. He was welcomed into the church. He had a very powerful experience of the Holy Spirit in church. He'd been baptized, and now he felt that the rest of his life was meant to be all about telling others about the wonderful new life that he'd found in Jesus. I remember sitting earlier in the week listening to this guy telling me his testimony, and I thought, wow, what an amazing story. The Holy Spirit really is for everybody. The Holy Spirit really is at work in people's lives today. But I can think of somebody else as well who I know, and I think probably you'll know them as well. He attends this church, and he often comes to both of the morning services, and he really believes that Jesus loves him, but he has serious doubts at times. Sometimes he doesn't understand where Jesus is in certain situations, and he also has a tendency to get quite cynical. And this person was telling me that actually sometimes he gets so cynical and so fed up with things that he just wants to give up on everything that he's been called to. But it's only the Holy Spirit that keeps him going. And you might know this person because he stood in front of you, and his name is Matt Phillips. And I haven't got the same dramatic testimony as the person I met this week, but my testimony is the same. It's the Holy Spirit who keeps me going every day. In the good times, in the hard times, in the times that are somewhere in between, it's the Holy Spirit that fills me afresh each day and gives me the strength and the energy to keep going and to keep trusting that his will is being done, that his kingdom is coming in my life and the world around me. And the Holy Spirit can come in your life as well. If he can come in my life, he can definitely come in your life. So God keeps his promises. He promises that the Holy Spirit is for everybody. But finally as well, I want to draw out that he promises that he will pour out his Holy Spirit on us when we ask him to do this. Not everybody who was present in Acts 2 responded positively to what was happening on this Pentecost Sunday. And even today, I know, speaking from my own experience, we can have suspicions and we can have doubts about whether we really can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but sometimes I look around church and I think, well, that person's really holy. God will want to give the Holy Spirit to that person, but they won't want to give it to me. I feel like someone's going to find out that I'm a fraud and I shouldn't be here as the curate. That's honestly how I feel at times. I feel like God couldn't want to give me the Holy Spirit. And yet, Jesus promises in Luke 11 that we had read to us just a few moments ago, that if we ask, it will be given to us. If we seek, we will find. And if we knock, the door will be open to us. Jesus tells us that his Father in heaven is a good Father who gives us good gifts, and he won't try and trick us. And since I've become a father in the last year, I know that this is really true. I can't imagine sitting down. I heard a few giggles when it said about a father pretending to give his child some fish or an egg, and really it being a snake or a scorpion. I heard some laughs, and I think Jesus is trying to make us laugh because it's so ridiculous that a father would do this. Can you imagine sitting James down in his high chair and then opening the baby food and out coming a snake, and then opening up another pot and out, egg surprise, and out comes a scorpion? It would just be ridiculous, wouldn't it, to do that to your child? I would never want James to experience that. I would never want any harm to come to him or for him to be tricked like that. And Jesus says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If that's how an earthly father or an earthly mother responds to their child, what will our heavenly Father do when we come before him? And I know that sometimes we can find it hard to come before God and to call him Father, especially if we've had difficult experiences of our own Father in our own lifetime as well. But I want to encourage you this morning that God is a Father unlike any Father. He's also a mother to us, unlike any mother that we know. And when we come before him, he wants to lavish his love on us. He wants to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit simply because he loves us. And I know that's crazy, but he really does love us just the way that we are. So this morning, as we come and we remember Pentecost, I want to encourage you to come before God and to remember that his promises are true. His promises stand forever. And his promises that he will not forget you, that he will pour out his Holy Spirit on you, they stand today. The Holy Spirit is for all of us who are gathered here and for everybody who's not in here this morning as well. God is calling us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to share the news of his Holy Spirit with all who we meet. And finally, just an encouragement that each of us can be filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter how we're feeling this morning. God loves us and he wants to meet with us. He wants to meet with us in a way that's right for us. That might be gently. It might be dramatically. However it is that God speaks best to you, he wants this morning just to know, each of us to know in our hearts that he loves us, that he's with us, and he has good plans for us every single day. So I think the bands are going to go, Ryan's already here, brilliant. Good service in this church. Ryan's going to start to play. And before we sing our song, which we'll use to respond in a little while, I just wondered if we could leave just a short space for the Holy Spirit to come and to just renew be with us this morning to help us know that the Holy Spirit is with us. So you might just want to be quiet as the band start to play for a moment. And you might even want to put your hands out. I sometimes put my hands out when I'm praying for the Holy Spirit to fill me at the start of the day, a bit like receiving a gift, because we know that God wants to give us good gifts and we know that he is with us this morning. So as we're quiet, I'll just pray a prayer that God would come and be with us now. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much that you are with us this morning. And as we sit here this morning, people of all ages and stages, people facing all kinds of different things in life, we know that you know exactly what's going on in our lives. You know the things that cause us to feel great joy in our hearts, and the things as well that cause us to feel anxious or distressed. You know all that's going on. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come into our lives exactly as we are now and to help us to know that you love us, to help us to know that you're with us, and to help us to know that you'll go with us as we go forward. So, Holy Spirit, come and fill us afresh, we pray. Before we sing, I've got a picture of a door, and it's a picture of somebody standing in front of a door and just scared to open that door. But I just encourage you, if you feel that you're standing in front of a door and you feel like the Holy Spirit isn't with you, just take hold of the handle, open the door, and God is there behind, ready to welcome you. So Father God, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for your love with us. And as we worship, as we turn to communion now, as we carry on going through our service, we pray that you would help us to know that you are with us. Help us to experience your love. Help us to not be afraid.